Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together today as a family of God here at Emmanuel. I pray now, as we come to this time of hearing your word preached, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, would be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In 1981, Herman and Donna Ostry bought a farm outside of Bruno, Nebraska. The property had a creek and came with a barn that was built in the 1920s. When the creek flooded in 1988, the barn ended up with over 2 feet of water covering the floor. So they decided to move the 17,000-pound barn to a new foundation more than 143 feet away from where it originally stood. Herman's son, Mike, devised a system of hundreds of handles that were welded to the outside and the inside of the barn. He figured that it would take 350 people, with each person lifting 56 pounds, to move the barn. The town of Bruno, Nebraska was getting ready to celebrate their centennial celebration in July of 1988. And so Herman and Mike presented their barn moving idea to the Centennial Committee. And the committee decided to make it part of their celebration. So, on July 30th, 1988, as local TV cameras and 4,000 people from 11 states watched, 350 people moved the barn in just 3 minutes up a gentle slope and set it on its new foundation. The reason most people think that something cannot be done is because they know that they can't do it by themselves. But things that seem impossible can be done if we join together in the work. Working together, we can not only move barns, but we can grow faith. This is Paul's encouragement to the Christians in Ephesus for our reading today that Ben read from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 16. I encourage you to turn back to that text. I'll be looking at the entire text this morning. He begins in verse 1 through 3. That I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So we read here that Paul is still in prison in Rome as he records this letter of encouragement. And then he lists these marks or signs of a Christian, of what it means to live a life that is worthy to be called a Christian. And he lists those in these verses 2 and 3, mentions humility, gentleness, patience, love, peace. All of these are marks of a Christian to unify us together as the body of Christ. Then he continues in verse 4 and 5. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now you'll notice it says one Lord, one faith, one baptism, because it is into one church that you were all baptized, into one faith. That's the Christian faith. Although you may have been baptized here in Emmanuel, or St. Matthew, or St. Paul, or Christ in Norfolk, or Our Savior, it doesn't matter where you were baptized. It matters that you were baptized into the one Christian faith. For example, this movie of Herman Ostry's barn. Herman had this so-called crazy idea of moving this barn with human power. And so his son Mike developed this plan. He made all of the calculations that were necessary. And the Ostry family proposed it then to the Centennial Committee at Bruno. And 350 people from four neighboring states came to that barn, and they were unified together to move it to its new location. Every person that day was to accomplish something that they could not possibly imagine doing by themselves, all because they acted as one. God wants us to be reminded, as we look in verse 6, I'm repeating this, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. This Austrian barn united these 350, really strangers, some of them. They probably didn't even know the Austrians, but wanted to be part of something bigger than they were. And it is the cross and the resurrection that unites us as believers in Christ, unites us to God, unites us to each other. And God invites us in his work, as he calls each of us to do. God doesn't ask us to be one on our own. He provides the means that we have for us to be able to be one. In verse 11, he mentions some of these different callings. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. Each one of these groups has a specific calling, but their common calling was to connect people to Jesus. Paul puts it this way, if you look at verse 12 and 13. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So as a Christian, you are a member, as a body of Christ, and present in ministry of him. Paul says that we are continually being equipped, being built up, of maturing in our faith and in our actions. Yet we see now a transition here where he gives us a warning in verse 14. So that we, all of us, nobody's above sin, may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, human cunning, craftiness, and deceitful schemes. See, this is the problem. There are all kinds of messages telling us how we are to live, what our priorities in life should be, where we should find our happiness and our worth. That is why we have to go back to God's Word, which brings us to the next two verses in verse 15 and 16, where he says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. But the truth of God's word hurts sometimes. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be told I'm wrong, let alone to be told that I'm a sinner. The truth of God's word in those words is not popular or received very well. And it can even get you into trouble or be chastised or persecuted. But no matter what happens, we have the assurance of one thing that does not change. It's God's word, that we can trust it, that we can continue to look back to it, to look to it every single day as we move forward as God's people. And though some things we face seem impossible, yet we're reminded today that we are not alone. Like Hermann Austrian's barn being lifted off the ground and moved to a new location, God gives each of us a handle in our callings in life. We are called to do our part in lifting and moving His kingdom forward, ultimately connecting people to Himself in His cross, in His resurrection, in His forgiveness. But we don't do it perfectly. We all fall short. We misstep at times. We even get off track. And that's why we have to practice what we preach. Not to define sin for what the world says, or by what we think it should be or is, but instead, like we did earlier in the service, that we repent and we confess our sin according to what God says. And when we do, we find true peace and grace and mercy, with the result that we can grow up in every way in Christ. And so, dear friends, the same encouragement to the church in Ephesus is the same encouragement that God gives you today, that you are called to one faith for the forgiveness of your sins. And may each of you keep your eyes on the one Lord Jesus, doing your part in these worthy callings that God has you doing. Until that day, when one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all will be realized in His fullness, when we will see Him face to face as He has promised. Amen. We now